Good morning. I do have a plan. It finally came together. As you know, Jesus loves to keep me on my toes and wait to the very last minute to share anything with me. But thank you for singing that song today. If you want to hear it regularly, it's on Air One. I love it. It reminds me so much of what Jesus is in my life. And I hope he is all of that to you too, because he's pretty awesome. I've been listening to some podcasts. Access More has podcasts on it, and there's one by Christy McClelland, and she's actually a teacher. She goes to Israel regularly, and she loves the Jews and the faith, and she delves deep into what Jesus, because Jesus was Jewish. You know, he had church traditions and things that he did, and she delves into that. And every time she does a talk, she reads this verse: "How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey." That's Psalms 119, 103. And the more I get into the Word and study the Word, and I'm a nerd, I like to study, so bear with me. But the more I get into it, the sweeter His Word is. It literally feeds your soul. I cannot tell you how much. You know, when the world's falling apart and everything looks a mess, His scripture feeds your soul and gives you a peace that you can not get from anywhere else. And I hope each one of you feels that and understands that. Jesus is so awesome. And He's not just awesome for me. He's awesome for every single person in here. All you have to do is jump into it and trust Him, because He is amazing. So when Pastor Ricardo asked me to share with you guys, God gave me Elijah in the Bible. And I kept thinking, why am I supposed to talk about Elijah? He's a prophet in the Old Testament, 1 Kings. And I'm reading his story over and over and over, and there's so many different ways you can go with the story. There's so many different things that you can learn from Elijah. And I'm like, God, why do you want me to talk about Elijah? And of course, he didn't tell me till Thursday, okay? So if you could, Josh, put up my scripture for today. And here it is. James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And then verse 17, Elijah was as human as we are. And yet, when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So, Elijah was a man, you know, just like we are. He's a human person like we are. But he prayed earnestly. And when he prayed, God didn't send, you know, the rain was gone for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So surprise, prayer has been the thing lately. So again, here's another Sunday with prayer. So we're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 16, and we're going to learn about the world that Elijah was in. So in verse 29, it says, Ahab, son of Omri, began to rule over Israel. Now, Israel was a country under David and Solomon, and then because of Solomon's sin, God split the country. So 10 tribes of Israel became Israel, and 2 tribes stayed as Judah, because God promised David that he would have a throne and that his descendants would rule on the throne. So when they split, they were all Israel to begin with, and then 10 tribes went to the country of Israel, and 2 tribes stayed as Judah. And this is Israel, the 10 tribes. And the problem with Israel is the first leader set up golden calves, and they started worshiping and supposedly Yahweh, but in the image of a golden calf. And what did God tell us in the scripture? Do not set up idols. right? So Israel, founding, done, boom, already on the wrong track, okay? So Ahab, and this is many years later, son of Omri, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Asa, that's who was ruling Judah, in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 22 years, but Ahab, son of Omri, did what was evil in the Lord's sight, even more than any of the kings before him. And as though it were not enough to follow the example of Jeroboam, the guy who set up the idols, he married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and he began to bow down to the worship of Baal. So Ahab, now does it sound, you know, he did evil, more evil in the world than anybody before him. Now, does anybody feel like there's a lot of evil in the world these days? Yeah, so there's nothing new under the sun, right? There's nothing new under the sun. And then Ahab, instead of influencing his wife to worship Yahweh, she influenced him to bow down to Baal. So he rejected any thing that he knew as Yahweh and started worshiping another god. And God is a jealous God. He doesn't like that. So skipping to 17. Now Elijah, who was from Tebesh in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." And the Lord said to Elijah, "Go to the east and hide by Kirith Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food." So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped by Kirith Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. So Elijah, when he prayed that there would be no rain, did he get to be exempt from that? No, he had to go through the same rough time that his countrymen did, right? I mean, God didn't send a little rain cloud over Elijah, follow him around, like, you know, Winnie the Pooh's little rain cloud. It didn't work that way. So Elijah was going to experience the same want as everyone else. But look what God did. God provided for him. God sent ravens with meat. Now, that would be interesting, this big old bird driving up, you know, flying up with some meat for you. Ooh, where'd you get that? But, you know, no, but Elijah trusted the Lord. And these ravens brought him meat morning and evening. And he had a brook to drink from. Well, what happens to brooks when you don't have rain? Dry up. So do you think maybe Elijah was sitting next to that brook a little bit and kind of looking at it and, oh, wait a minute, it's a couple inches lower than it was yesterday. Oh, wow, now it's 5 inches lower than it was, you know, 3 days ago, but the ravens are still bringing me food. That's good. Do you ever think he might have, like, worried a little bit? I don't know. I am bad that way. God has provided for me constantly, and he's working on it, and I'm better than I used to be, and I still get better. I'm better than I was last year. But I always have that little, oh, is he really going to do what he says he's going to do? Is he really going to take care of me? And it's funny, because going through this story and prayer, it reminded me of many times in my life where I haven't seen an answer for my prayers. And I'm going to share those with you. Sorry, you get to hear the story of Ange here a little bit today. Where he's done that, and I had no idea how he was going to do it. And so for the first one, the first provision one that we're going to talk about, and then we're going to find out how God took care of that brook, by the way. So the first provision in my life, well, there's multiple ones, but this one stood out to me, is when I first got pregnant with my baby Chloe, I had a huge student loan, so I didn't have an option not to work, all right? So I knew that I would need childcare for my child. And I didn't just want any childcare. I wanted someone who loved my child as much as I loved my child. I wanted someone who loved Jesus to take care of my child. And I remember crying and praying. And I kept telling my mom, "Mom, you need to retire so you can take care of my kid." You know, that's your job as a grandma, is to retire and take care of my kid. But my mom did not feel the call, you know, to retire and take care of my child. She still had her things. So I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I'm telling you, we were getting on like eight months. And I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. And my lovely sister-in-law, who was not my sister-in-law at the time, but she and Dan were dating, she came up to me one time after service and she said, "Ange, I feel like Jesus is telling me to take care of your child." Snot cry. Snot cry. Roxanna was an answer to my prayer, a provision to my prayer that I didn't know was coming. And she dedicated 3 years to my children. She went to school afterwards, and she watched my kids during the day. And we couldn't pay her big bucks, let me tell you. But God provided her needs, and he provided our needs for 3 years. Well, then Roxy needed to move on. Roxy needed to go back to school. And I was like, oh, no. I still can't not work. What am I going to do? I'm like, of course, come on, Jesus. You gave me Roxy. What am I going to do? And of course, there's me going, I guess he's just not going to provide. And I'm looking for all different kinds of ways, like looking for, you know, let's look into this daycare, let's whatever, calling people who knew people, you know, instead of just waiting on the Lord. Well, God is much better than I am. He's much smarter than me. And Aaron had been kind of shifting, you know, he had gotten laid off. Well, he had quit CBN, gone to work for my uncle. He got laid off there because the economy bottomed out with the housing market. But had gotten another job right away, but they were still, it was in plumbing, and it was in, you know, warehouse management, and they were still working, you know, kinks, and they said they had multiple layoffs, and they said, no more, nobody's getting laid off again. So he came off on Friday, and he said, nobody else is getting laid off, you know, we're fine. He went in on Monday, and they laid him off. Okay? This is in July, all right? Now, normally that would freak me out, but I have to give God credit here because God actually, for once, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's not a big deal. That is not me. And I did not hear an audible voice, but driving over the Berkeley Bridge the day Aaron called me and told me he was laid off, and he was freaking out. He usually doesn't freak out. This time, he was freaking out. Driving over the Berkeley Bridge, I heard the Lord say it's time for him to go back to school. Solid. We had kind of talked about it, but the Lord said, it's time for him to go back to school. This is the end of July. So when I got home, I said, it's time for you to go back to school. And he's like, okay, well, what am I going to do? I said, I don't know. God has a plan. So I pull up Sentira Health Services because we had talked about x-ray tech or something like that. And it said, x-ray tech is saturated. That's what it was telling us on the thing. So I was going down through the different options that they have because we didn't have time for him to, like, take a 10-year course, okay, because it would be living on my salary, all right? So I looked through, and I'm like, cardiovascular tech. I read off the things to him. I said, you think you can do that? He said, yeah, I think so. I said, great, here's your prereqs. End of July, I am telling you people this was God. He went to TCC the beginning of the semester in August, got every single one of those prereqs that he needed in the evening when he needed them, and he had time to watch the kids. He was the provision. And even though it looked scary and crazy and didn't know exactly what it looked like, and again, for once I was calm, he was the provision. And he watched the kids, and the girls have a tight relationship with their dad that a lot of people don't get because he was home with them, and he took care of them. And it wasn't easy for him. He had to go to work. We, you know, saw each other for 5 minutes as he left, and I came in, and, you know, and he was by himself a lot. There were a lot of girls. that were stay-at-home moms, and he was the one dude dropping off his kids, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't easy for him, but he put in the work, and God blessed that. And he is a cardiovascular tech, and it is his job. It is what God made him to do, and he is phenomenal at it. Phenomenal. So God provides. So as Quinn was saying, you look at the gas prices, you look at all these different things, God will take care of you. It doesn't. And just pray. Tell him what you need. You got it. It's a two-way street. He knows what you need, but he wants you to tell him what you need. And don't be afraid, and don't be ashamed, and don't be scared. You know, talk to him like I talk to you, like I'm talking to you now. I do that all the time in my car. People must think I'm crazy because my mouth is going constantly. Blah 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 blah. And you know, if someone, if you're having a hard time with something, or there's a relationship you're having a hard time, believe me, I tell on people to Jesus all the time. I am like, Jesus, did you see what that person did to me? And then Jesus is like, well, yes, I see that, but Ange, how can you respond? So got to be prepared for that too. Okay, but I'm telling you, you can talk to him just like I'm talking to you. But let's go back to Elijah. So his brook is drying up. And then the Lord said to Elijah, go live in the village of Zephrath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So the widow already knows Elijah's coming. He's instructed the widow to feed him. And the widow is not in Israel. She is a Gentile, which how much does Jesus love us? He didn't just keep it for the Jews. He brought it for everybody. All right? God brought it for everybody, even back in the Old Testament. So he went to Zephrath, and when he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And she was going to get it. That was really nice. She's like, oh, God instructed me to feed this guy, but he only wants water. That's great. So how she found some water, I don't know, but, you know, she found water. And then he said, as she was going to get it, bring me a bite of bread, too. Oh, really? I thought you just wanted water, you know? And the widow said, I swear by the Lord your God, I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of a jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Because widows, you know, if you didn't have a provider back then, and, you know, nobody provided, it was hard to be a widow. You didn't have the means. But Elijah told her, and God had already told her she needed to feed Elijah. So that's me right there. I know I'm supposed to feed Elijah, but I don't really know how to do it. And, you know, but you can admit that fear to God. You can tell God, I know I'm supposed to do this, but how am I supposed to do it? Because he has a plan. It may take him a little time to lay it out for you, but he has a plan. And Elijah said, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what is left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops to grow again. There will always be. Now, it may not be steak, but there will be nourishment. There will always be. And you just remind Jesus of that all the time. I certainly do. You wonder how you're going to do things. You wonder how things are going to get paid. How things are. You remind Jesus, you promised to provide for me. You promised. So Elijah stayed with her, and for the rest of the 3.5 years, there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. What a testimony. What an amazing testimony to a woman who did not know Yahweh. All right, so she believed for a little bit, but then the trials of life come. And sometime later, the woman's son became sick, and he grew worse and worse, and he finally died. Now, she knows God has provided for her this whole time, right? But again, human, me doing the same thing. She said to Elijah, oh, man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son? So all of a sudden, the God provider wasn't as good as she thought. Her son was dead, right? And then Elijah said, "Give me your son." And he took the child's body from her arms and he carried him upstairs to the room where he was staying and laid the body on the bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, why have you brought this tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die?" Now Elijah, he didn't get all priestly with his prayer, right? He didn't say, "Oh Lord, I know you can do everything." And no, he said, "Hey, you're making us look bad. Why did you kill this? Why did you allow this child to die? God, you're making us look bad. This woman doesn't know you. What's going on?" But he was honest. He was straight up. He was honest with God. And he stretched out himself over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him." Three times. So sometimes we pray for something and it's not right away that we get the answer and we have to persist in that prayer. And Elijah persisted. "Oh God, please let this child live." Three times. And it says, "And the Lord heard Elijah's prayer and the life of the child was returned and he was revived." Now you may say, why did God let this child die? He didn't have to let this, you know, child die. He could have done something differently. But Elijah brought down him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. "Look," he said, "your son is alive." And the woman told Elijah, "Now I know for sure that you are a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you." So sometimes some things have to die in our lives and we have to pray, you know, I mean, not for bad things, but for good things. Pray them back to know that God is who he says he is. Sometimes those kind of things happen. And then we realize you really are who you say you are. You're not just making it up. I'm not just believing in a fantasy. You are who you say you are. So he provides for us and he revives the dead spots in our lives. But it requires an action on our part. We have to pursue it. He pursues us first, but we also are part of the relationship. So, but that's not it for Elijah. Elijah's got a couple more prayers. So, hang with me. In verse 18, later on the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him I will soon send rain." And so Elijah went and appeared before Ahab. And he met a godly servant who was working for Ahab before that. So there's a whole section of that where the godly servant who believed in God and trusted the God of Israel, Yahweh, was like, you know, "Don't disappear on me because I'm going to get killed if you don't, if you do," because he told him to go tell Ahab he was there. So even ungodly rulers can have godly people around them who can influence them. Back then, the king could kill anybody he wanted to, but he did not kill Obadiah, and yet Obadiah stood for the Lord. He hid priests when they were trying to kill them, and he was an important part of Ahab's council. So when we look around the world and we see a lot of ungodly things, understand God has a remnant everywhere. And we pray for that remnant, and we pray to be part of that remnant, to be part of the influencers in society, because we all are. We have people around us that we can influence. So, anyway, so Elijah came up to Ahab, and he said, God's gonna, what did he say exactly? So Ahab said, "Oh, here you are, you big troublemaker." And Elijah said, "I have not made trouble for Israel. You and your family are the troublemakers." He's pretty upfront there with the king. "Since you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead, now summon all Israel together and join me on Mount Carmel and bring along the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel." So Ahab said, "All right, I'll do that." So he summoned all the people and all the prophets to the Mount Carmel. And Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And the people were silent. So he was putting a challenge out there. And Elijah said, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left. But Baal has 450 prophets. And we all know the story of Elijah, where he had the 450 prophets set up an altar. And then he set up an altar to the Lord. And he let the prophets all day cry out to Baal to send fire down to burn this offering up. Because Baal was supposed to be the god of the winds or the god of weather, which is funny because God is the god of the weather and he stopped it from raining, but Baal was supposed to be the god of weather. So he just thumbed his nose at Baal right there. And so he let them have all day. They shouted louder, following their normal customs. They cut themselves and swords and blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice when, you know, the Jews sacrificed to Yahweh. But there was still no sound or no reply. And the whole time, while they were doing that, Elijah's telling them, oh, well, maybe he went on a trip. Maybe Baal's sleeping. Maybe he's not, you know, available at this time. All right? So he's making fun of them. Then at the end, when it was sacrifice time, Elijah said to the people, come over here. They all crowded around him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each tribe of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons of water. Then he piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. And then he said, fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood. I'm not sure where he found water, but it's pretty awesome. And then when they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they had finished, he said, now do it a third time. Now, has anybody tried to light wet wood? It is not easy or very possible. And this is 3 times drenched wet wood. So, and the water ran down the altar and even filled the trench, which could hold 3 gallons. All right? At the usual time for the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all that is at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are your God and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust, and it even licked up all the water in the trench. Elijah prayed for revival. He didn't jump around and cut himself or do anything like that. He prayed a simple prayer, an honorable prayer, at the time when the sacrifice was supposed to be. And he was answered with fire. We can all pray for revival. It starts in us, and we can pray for revival, and God will send the fire. And we have to trust and have faith and believe, no matter what it looks like in the world, God will send fire. And we have to be open for it and ready for it. So, then you think if God sent the fire right away, he'd send the rain. Don't you think? He said he's going to send rain. He told us at the beginning he was going to send rain. So, fire fell. Was there rain? Not yet. Elijah told the king, go and get something to drink and eat. And he said, and I am going to go pray for rain because there's a storm coming. Elijah had faith. There's a storm coming, but it didn't come right away. So Elijah went up on the top of the mountain, and he prayed. And he didn't just, please, dear Jesus, send some rain. He got down on his knees, his head between his knees, and he earnestly prayed for rain. Then he said to his servant, go look towards the sea. And the servant went and looked out and returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look, and finally the seventh time his servant said to him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's fist. And Elijah said, rising from the sea, and Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. So Elijah got a little glimpse. It wasn't a big old fat rain cloud. It was a tiny little fist coming out of the sea. But he had the faith to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And God told him at the beginning he was going to send rain, but he still had to sow the time in prayer. Sow in prayer, and we will get revival. But we got to sow. But that's not the end of Elijah. I know you think, is she ever going to end this story? So Elijah, you know, ran in front of the chariot. God had done something amazing, big, high mountaintop experience, running in front of the chariot. And before, if you read the story before, God always told Elijah what to do. He told him to go to the brook. He told him to go to the widow. You know, he told him, I'm going to send rain. All this other stuff. Well, we don't see God telling Elijah anything to do when Elijah runs in front of the chariot. And Elijah has this whole big mountaintop experience. God has really shown up, and he probably thinks, okay, this is going to be a huge revival. You know, we're going to lead the people back to God. We're going to, you know, it's going to be an amazing experience. Well, Ahab went home and tattled to his wife, okay? And obviously Ahab, you know, was not the influencer in this particular relationship, because when he basically tattled on Elijah. Well, Elijah did all this stuff. So Jezebel, and they killed all the prophets of Baal, by the way. So the illegal the prophets that were trying to promote Baal, they killed them all. And they told Jezebel this. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them, the prophets. So he didn't even see her face to face. She sent a little message. All right? And what happened? Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. So he forgot to pray. He fled, and he was afraid and fled for his life after a little message from Jezebel. How often do we do that? We have a high mountaintop, and again, I'm talking right here. God has worked this through me. How often do I have a high mountaintop, or I see a big change, and then I get afraid, and I forget? And so he ran away. But this is actually good news for us, because I run away a lot. He went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day, and he sat underneath a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who are already dead, or have already died. We all have that in our lives, don't we? We have times when we're just tired of life. We're just discouraged by what's going on. Weary. You know. I'd rather be in heaven, Lord, than here. If we're all honest, we've all had those experiences in our life. And we're going to look at how our precious Lord addresses us. Now I'm crying. Addresses us when that happens. Then Elijah lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. God didn't come to Elijah and say, Elijah, we just had this great time. You didn't ask me what to do. You just ran off. You got scared. He met Elijah with what he needed, which was rest and something to eat. We can take that to God. We don't have to be all cleaned up. We don't have to have it all together. We don't have to have the next step. We can take anything to him, and he meets us with what we need, but we have to take it to him. We can't just pretend it's not there, because he knows it's there. And the Lord did that again. He came down again. And he didn't say, Elijah, get up, move, go back, do whatever. No, he came down to Elijah again. He said, get up and eat. And or else the journey will be too much for you. So he got up, ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And he came to a cave, and he spent the night. And when he spent the night, we know that the Lord met him there, and he showed him that he has control of all the elements, the wind, the rocks, everything. But he came to Elijah in a still small voice because that's what Elijah needed. So, God, prayer, God can meet us for provision, for healing. He always does. He can meet us for revival, which we definitely need. And he can meet us in our worst times. When we're worn down, tired, and don't know what to do. And he will meet us as we need him to. And he will meet each one of us individually with what we need. Because we're all different, we're all created different. And God knows us from the hairs of our head to the soul of our, to our soul. He knows what we need. We just have to have that little bit of faith that Elijah had to see that fist rising out of the water and know that it's coming. So when you look around the world and you get discouraged, don't be, because that fist is coming and we know who provides it. So take heart. And I'm going to just end with what Pastor Ricardo has said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. And it's true. So I challenge you, just talk to Jesus. Talk to him in your car. Talk to him when you're cooking. Talk to him when you're mowing the lawn. Jesus and I have great conversations when we're mowing the lawn. He will be there for you. He will provide everything you need. Make sure that you don't look at the circumstances and you remember who your God is.